Technorama episode 522, Inflatable Time Loop.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I put a holodeck inside a holodeck, and you know where I came out?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
A quick glance to make sure that the recorder is recording and all things well.
I'm sorry, I just got this vision of computer, hologram program. Like one of those little mirrors, the mirror effect when you get two mirrors.
Yeah, exactly. When you turn on screen sharing of your computer on Hangouts and it goes like into the tunnel of infinity.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Hey, welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, you're in for a surprise because it's 2018. That's not the surprise. This is fun hanging out with the other nerds. Thank you for joining us. If you are returning, welcome back. May the force be with you.
Yeah.
We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm here, and I'm ready to podcast after the holidays.
It feels like we took about a month off, doesn't it?
It always does, even though it's been a few weeks, but yeah, it always feels like it's like a couple of months.
Also joining us here is...
Hey, let's see if we remember how to do this podcast thing, so go ahead.
You need to retrain me if I'm off for a week. That's the problem.
Retrain.
And then we change the technology and nothing ever works again. That's the way podcasts go. Also joining us here in sunny Phoenix, Arizona are Tiffany Mangan.
Happy New Year, everybody.
And her husband, Jack.
Hey, everyone. Hey, Craig. Hey, Chuck.
Should we still do the prefix with, you know, the spherical Tomy and Duel of the Fates thing? Or is that yesterday's news?
That is yesterday. I have new things to shamelessly plug, actually.
You do?
I do.
Plug away.
Well, let me take the next 30 minutes to tell you all about it.
It'll be better than our show.
No, really quick.
And thank you. Good night.
Well, actually, the first and foremost, I'm replacing Craig Stepp as Chuck's partner on Technorama. I don't know if anyone was aware of that.
Wait, what?
Oh, Craig, sorry. No.
It's only for this episode because then Jack's going to get real busy in his life.
He's more reliable.
No, I was going to say, finally.
The interview process was murder.
No, really, really quickly, I will drop them in. So I'm back in two different ways. I'm doing the Ideas Start Here podcast. So go out and look it up. It is a vaccination focused podcast, but it also has other, good things in life and interesting stories. Also, not exactly a podcast because there's no RSS feed. It's YouTube only, but I work with the website metalasylum.net and we started up chatting and talking about metal and music and all that kind of stuff. So thank you. Thank you for allowing me that shameless plug. I'll be quiet the rest of the show.
I like aluminum.
Yeah, that's kind of my favorite. Yeah. Adamantium, are we allowed to say that? Or does Disney own that? Or
Plutonium.
Plutonium. Unobtainium, that's the big one.
Oh, are we delving into the fictional metals? I see.
Vibranium. Let us have some fun with this show, then. We have feedback!
Oh, no.
Letters. Oh, we get letters.
Not really letters.
Retrain it.
What up?
Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman. Mail today.
We haven't played that so long. I think I heard static from the dust on the record. If an MP3 file could get static from dust, that was it. It's been a long time.
Right.
We have a voicemail from Crazy Joe. And while I play this, I'm going to get the Google Translate version because it's even funnier. It's always. All right.
I didn't even read it, actually. I'm waiting for that one.
Crazy Joe of the Mega Podcastic Podcast. And in regards to the question of the week a couple weeks back, if I was in a virtual world, what would my pop culture icon or avatar be? Well, this is a very, very easy question for me to answer because it's already my avatar on several different message boards and virtual forums. It would be Mr. T, and I don't think that would come as a surprise to anyone who knows me. But my answer is Mr. T, and I pity the fool who has a problem with that. Talk to you later.
He's got a good point.
Not I'm Alf?
I was going to say Alf or a Muppet character.
Yeah, he's... Joe is very much a TV pop culture kind of guy. And I can see Alf.
I do have a couple others that came in from Facebook, one of which is sitting right here in the room. So, Tiffany, what is your avatar in the fictional world?
It would be Daenerys Stormborn on one of her dragons.
Oh, on one of... I thought she said or one of her dragons.
Oh, no,
okay.
No. While riding one of her dragons, for sure. Yeah, that one came to me right away also.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
And John Miller Jr. says Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
I got
to... Which is actually his avatar already on Facebook.
some of these people aren't thinking real hard.
I know.
I went with Professor Farnsworth. Good news, everyone. Go with what you know.
What about you, Jack?
Well, I thought about, would it be too meta to be hero protagonist from Snow Crash, who kind of is an avatar? So it'd be like an avatar of an avatar.
Right? Oh, right. I like it.
I would have to be the Hoff.
The translation for Joe's voicemail. Hi, this is crazy. Period. Joe of the mega podcast O'Clock Ass.
Okay.
And in regards to the question of the week a couple weeks back, if I was in a virtual world, what would my pop culture icon weird avatar fee? Well, this is a very, very easy question for me to answer because he's already my avatar on several different message boards. And a virtual tour and virtual tour of it would be Mr. T. And I don't think that would come as a surprise to anyone who knows me, but my answer is Mr. T. And I pity the fool who has a problem with that. Talk to you later. You cover in those pajamas.
I think he was referring to underoos.
I knew he had to change the name of his podcast, but I didn't think it had to be the O'Clock Ass.
Right.
Thank you very much for those of you who sent in your letters.
Hey, wait a minute.
What? I didn't catch Craig.
I didn't catch Craig.
Yeah, I didn't get to answer mine.
Craig?
Yeah, I would be the Hoff.
Oh, nice.
The planet Hoff?
No. Hoff, as in Hoff. Michael Knight. Yeah, like Michael Knight checking his watch.
David Hasselhoff.
Hanging out with Kit. Yeah, that's me. That's the way I envision myself. I mean, look at me.
I was not going to say anything.
Can you run in slow motion for us, Craig?
Look, I'm really big in Germany. Saying.
I'm big in Korea. Okay. Let's unpause that one. Oh, we need our D20s. Get your D20s. The history thing is next.
Guess what?
You got a new D20 for Christmas?
No, these are from 1980 something. Like on the Goldbergs. These are from 1980 something.
I'm going to try not to wreck anything as I stretch my headphone across everything else.
Oh, crap. I'm going to return these.
They don't work?
Not one.
Ah, natural 20. Double damage.
Wow.
What'd you get?
Six.
I got 17. So, Jack, Chuck.
I got a rock.
Tiffany Craig or Jack Chuck Tiffany. We can't do this without crossing the stream somewhere, but that's okay. We'll keep it in Jack Chuck Tiffany Craig. Let's play the music and maybe we'll forget by that time. On this day in history for January 10, 2018, this is the 10th day of the year because this is going to go out on Wednesday. In the Gregorian calendar, there are 355 days remaining in 2018. I love this time of year. The math is easy. It was on this date in 1776 that Thomas Paine published his pamphlet on called Common Sense. I lost my cursor and I'm trying to scroll before the other people have to read here. Uh-oh. I think I killed my mouse when I was stretching the headphone across. Not good, Bruno. Let's see what happens. Now
just
we're
really... wave your hand. Maybe it'll make it.
Okay. Oh, wait. I went first. I'm sorry. That was supposed to be Jack's line. Oh, take it over, Jack.
No, I'm walking out. I can't work in the
yeah, yeah, I'm out.
Habit. We're not used to having guests.
On January 10th, 1812, the first steamboat on the Ohio River or the Mississippi River arrives in New Orleans 82 days after departing from Pittsburgh.
Talk about the slow boat from China.
Right. The Metropolitan Railway, Railway, the world's oldest underground railway, opens between Paddington and Farringdon, marking the beginning of the London Underground on this day in 1863.
Wow, that's old stuff.
Yeah.
And January 10th, 1870, John D. Rockefeller incorporates Standard Oil.
He incorporated it?
Incorporates.
117 years ago today, the first great Texas oil gusher was discovered at Spindletop in Beaumont, Texas.
It's covering also, the highway.
Also today, in 1927, Fritz Lang's futuristic film Metropolis is released in Germany.
Ooh.
Starring the Hoff?
Is it Lang or Long?
Right. 56 years ago today, NASA announces plans to build the C-5 rocket launch vehicle, which became known as the Saturn V moon rocket, which launched every Apollo moon mission.
So they announced it in 62, which means it took a long time to build that rocket.
Yeah, no kidding. Your and turn, Time Craig. Warner is... Huh?
Your turn, Craig.
Oh, yeah. Time Warner is formed by the merger of Time, Inc., and Warner Communications on this date in 1990.
I remember that. Oh. Happy birthday goes out on this date. This is going to be a fun one today, kids. We got lots of good names.
Buckle
goes
up.
Goes out on this date to German astronomer Simon Marius, born on this date in 1573.
All right. Lazzaro Spallanzani, the Italian priest, biologist, and physiologist... was born 289 years ago today.
English physician and academic, founded Birkbeck University of London, George Birkbeck, was born 242 years ago today.
And born January 10th, 1780, German physician and explorer Martin Lichtenstein.
Lichtenstein.
That's what I said, Lichtenstein.
It's the name of a... Anyway, let's keep going. Oh, good. Get your cursor out of the way. I can't read. Carl Ritter von Giga, the Italian-Austrian engineer designed the Semmering Railway, was born on that same date in 1802.
Italian paleontologist, archaeologist, ethnographer, and plumber Luigi Piggiorini, born on this date in 1842. I added the plumber thing.
American architect, designed the Rookery Building and the Monadnock Building. John Welburn Root was born 168 years ago today.
Good on him.
And I started to say Isaac, but Isai Schurker, or Schur, Schur?
Sure, whatever.
Sure. Actually, that works too. Schur, German mathematician academic, was born on this date in 1875.
Sweet. I get Alexei Nikolaevich Tolstoy, the Russian journalist, author, and poet. You know what he wrote?
Nothing.
Tolstoy.
Tolstoy 1, 2, and 3.
Tolstoy 1, 2. You are a child's plaything! He was born 135 years ago today, and has nothing to do with that movie.
But it should. Born January 10th, 1891, German mathematician and academic Heinrich Behmann.
Catherine Burr Blodgett, the American physicist and engineer, was born 120 years ago today.
We are being really nice to Tiffany tonight on the names. We roll right for this. We can't make it up, but then we go out of order to make it screwed up anyway.
Right. Yep. American engineer and inventor Gordon Kidd Teal was born 111 years ago today.
111?
Yeah, 111.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Suna Bergström, the Swedish biochemist and academic Nobel Prize laureate, was born on that same date in 1916.
American businessman Roy E. Disney was born 88 years ago today.
Is he related to Roy G. Biv?
Yeah.
A colorful guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Also born on the same date in 1938, American computer scientist and mathematician Donald Knuth.
Knuth.
American singer-songwriter musician, part of Steely Dan, Donald Fagen, is 70 today.
I thought he passed away. No, who's the other one?
If you hadn't asked me, I would have told you.
The other guy in Steely.
Becker, Becker.
You look that up while I'm doing this. Also turning 65 today is American singer-songwriter Pat Benatar. Hit me with your best shot.
Saw her last year in concert.
Walter Becker, that's what I was thinking of.
Also born on that same date in 1962, American computer scientist and academic Catherine S. McKinley.
That's the way it was on this day in history for January 10th. Who wrote 18th on here? 2018. Darn editors. We also have some... Good thing I caught that. I probably would have read it blindly. We also have some listener birthdays on the calendar. If you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki, and we will give you a shout-out at the appropriate time of year. We've been doing this for almost 13 years. Certainly, we've hit everybody, right? No. There's a lot of listeners out there that who have not gone there and put their birthday down. In fact, some people have gone and done extra homework and put their kids and their wives and their mother-in-law and their car's anniversary. It's crazy what's in there. But you can just put your birthday like Thomas Gideon did. He's on the 3rd. We have to go back a little bit because this show is over the holidays. Thomas Command Gideon line. From the Command Line podcast. Where's the desk bell? There it is. Remember T brought his real desk bell when he was here?
January he actually 6th? Brought it?
Yeah, he did.
I didn't realize
that. He was smacking that thing left and right. It was in real life physical desk bell. All I have is a digital one. Steve Therrien from Canada. Elvis was born on the 8th. He's still out there. Happy birthday, Elvis. He's probably listening to Technorama.
David Bowie, too.
There we go. Where are we? January 9th. I forget what month it is. I can read. January 9th is Lingo from the Written Yankee. He's on occasionally. He's not a regular host of that show anymore. Glenn Tolar from the UK is on the 14th, as is my brother. And the 15th is Ralph Whitfield, a.k.a. Goofy Ralph. Goofy Ralph should hang out with Crazy Joe.
I know.
Our own Jack Mangan is January 14th.
January 14th?
Yes.
Ding! There.
Got to get you on the birthday list.
True.
Oh, how do we do that, Chuck?
You go to chuckchat.com/wiki, and it's a free open wiki. You put your name in there. You'll see the birthday calendar link as soon as you get there. Open it up, put your name in, and away we go. And I'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. We have news. I'm not sure what kind of news this is. Let's see if I can find an appropriate one here.
Some kind of news, everybody.
Startling news, everyone.
That ought to work. Craig, would you like the first story?
Sure, why not?
Apparently my cursor came back. I can click on things now.
Yeah. So researchers at Google were able to create little stickers with psychedelic-looking patterns on them that could trick computer AI image classifying algorithms into misclassifying images of objects that would normally be recognized.
I call recognizing. These QR codes.
Yeah, right. So the pattern stickers work by tricking the image recognition algorithm by into focusing on and studying the little pattern on the small sticker. That sounds like a QR code. And ignoring the rest of the image, including the actual object in the picture. The images on the stickers were created by the researchers by using knowledge of features and shapes, patterns, and colors that the image recognition algorithms look for and focus on. You know, they're repeating a lot of the same words in this thing.
It's
These stickers were created so the algorithm finds them more interesting than the rest of the image and will focus most of its attention on analyzing the pattern, while giving the rest of the image content a lower importance, thus ignoring or confusing it. So if you're trying to get past your bio, security.
The Facebook self-tagging feature?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So
I saw the article and I saw psychedelic and stickers, and I thought maybe they... put something on the glue.
Yeah, it looks funny. It looks like they almost like they put a coin. I know it's not a coin, but in the picture, but it's colorful and it looks kind of funky. Little spot on the picture, and I'm actually confused by it.
Adversarial targeting images. Is it in this PDF that I'm trying to download? No, that's just
you gonna print it out.
Oh, here's a banana, and here's something scrambly next to the banana. right?
That's what I'm talking about. So if you go, yeah, I was saying I was confused by the, I'm confused by it. It's a little picture. But
dog,
if you scroll down.
Dog plus colored box equals not dog. Is that what they're saying?
You never did see Silicon Valley, did you?
No.
They had the app that was supposed to identify food and it would identify hot dog and not hot dog.
I I did get a wind of that meme. Yep.
Not hot dog. Anyway, you can imagine what they were taking pictures of.
We have another article. Jack, would you like to take the retro category?
Yeah, I'll get it. Guardians of the Galaxy is leading the unlikely cassette tape revival.
Well, first we had a vinyl revival, so this would make sense, right?
Right.
Sure. Yeah, nostalgia is about more than pop culture. Often it's about technology, the way old machines feel and sound and look, and the sense of both simplicity and inaccessibility that comes with them. They're not as fancy as what we have now, but they're also a little arcane, like old magic.
You know what else is going to go up if cassette sales go up? Pencil sales.
Exactly. All of that is to say that cassette tapes and audio format we all thought died an ignominious death in the 90s are back, baby. According to Nielsen Music sales numbers...
Hey, wait a minute. Tone your enthusiasm down there, Jack.
This is Jack. I love it.
According to Nielsen Music sales numbers, the format is having a quiet revolution. Just in 2017, sales for cassette tapes were up by 35% over 2016.
We sold 6 more tapes!
Exactly. This is with 174,000 new cassettes sold. Which isn't like huge. I mean, I'm reading this word for word. Which isn't like huge, but for a retro format that's not vinyl, that's pretty incredible. Leading that revolution is a superheroic maestro of 80s nostalgia, Guardians of the Galaxy. The top 3 selling tapes are all Guardians joints. The first and second volumes of the Awesome Mix and the first volume of the Cosmic Mix. If you're looking for proof that Marvel and Disney are reshaping pop culture in their image, look no further. Star-Lord is so powerful he can revive dead media formats.
Wow.
What an ego.
Betamax rules.
I'm going to tell you, I did a lot with cassette tapes. I think I pushed the envelope on what you could do with cassette tapes because I was doing this before I got into mixing with turntables and stuff. I was with my friend Mark. We were making remixes, but I had like 3 tape decks and one was recording and I was playing 2 at the same time and trying to do splices and stuff. But I'm going to tell you, I mean, as much nostalgia as I do have for cassette tapes, I do not want to go back to cassette tapes.
No.
Right.
It was a pain. It's too linear.
Hey, the value on this dual cassette deck over here in the studio might have just gone up. Might be time to think about selling.
I don't know. You can get 10 bucks.
You know, you get 10 bucks.
Just put a little piece of tape on it. Awesome Mix, Volume 1.
And 2. It's got 2 decks. Why not?
What I would say is the old guy in me coming out is I do like having some kind of physical thing to hold my media as opposed to everything streaming. That's again, I know that I'm being grandpa about it, but I do like a CD or even an iPod, something physical where my media lives.
No, I'm totally with you. I'm totally with you. But cassette tapes or even 8-tracks, no, but vinyl, I can get right behind that. No problem. Cause you know, you can pick and choose what you want to play pretty easy and you don't have to fast forward and rewind and all that crap. So yeah, I'm totally with you. Look at there.
Yeah. Tula Clark.
But I you're right. I like something tangible you can put your hands on, but I do appreciate the immediacy that streaming has. You can go, oh, I want to listen to that. You can go find it, but
I'm going to pick another one at random.
Another one.
Oh, I got Bob Seger. That was all right.
Hold on, let me go get my distance. Hotel California. Hold on.
No, you got to do it. It's got to be within arm's reach.
I've got the White Album downstairs.
I have to wonder what some of our viewers wonder. It's like, what kind of TARDIS studio is this? Chuck always seems to have the craziest stuff within arm's reach, just off camera.
If you pull out an 8-track, then we are going to have a tabletop.
Oh, wait, what do you hear when you play Petula Clark backwards, when you play the record backwards? Then what messages do you get?
Well, and you're the devil. You're the devil. No, I was thinking Nancy Sinatra. Never mind.
It's fun to smoke marijuana.
You don't go downtown, that's for sure. You go uptown, Petula Clark. From we were speaking. We got Guardians of the Galaxy. Popular Mechanics is the next one. The search for aliens starts now in Antarctica. Better get Leonard Nimoy. It's hard to get over putting your life's work in harm's way. Brittany Schmidt hasn't. The Georgia Tech researcher has tested the limits of underwater robots swimming beneath Antarctic ice shelves, a dry run for looking for life in outer space, and it hasn't gotten any easier. Anytime you take your whole program's work and dangle it off a fiber optic cable through a meter of ice, it's a little unnerving.
Schmidt, it sounds like a euphemism, actually.
I was going to say my whole career has been dangling by a thread. Emailing from the Antarctic Research Station on the south tip of Ross Island. This week, Schmidt and her team of researchers are leaving the Antarctic after a busy 3 months at the far end of the Earth. They are testing IceFin, a drone built to explore the extreme ecosystems lurking beneath the ice. The waters beneath the planet's ice sheet are fascinating, turning up species few people have ever laid eyes on. But they're not the final target in this chase. Alien seas. IceFin is meant to search for alien life, a, quote, bug hunt.
Game over, man. Game over.
Stop your grinning and drop your linen. Scientists cheerfully call it's bound for the icy waters of Jupiter's moon Europa, possibly as soon as 2030. IceFin is capable of deploying through a small drill holes in the ice, similar to what will one day be needed to explore Europa, Schmidt says. Instead of 1 meter, though, they're going to have to go a little thicker ice.
Yeah.
In the meantime, the project is looking to understand how ice-ocean interactions operate in Antarctica and how these processes may couple to biological communities. Like many subsea drones, the 10-foot-long IceFin is shaped like a torpedo or UFO. It made headlines in 2014 as one of the prototype drones that plumbed the Antarctic as part of the NASA program to test technology. Now a new program called Ross Ice Shelf and Europa Underwater Probe, Rise Up, because they had to think of a really clever name. Ross Ice Shelf and Europa Underwater, not RISIUP. NASA is funding three, if you put them together.
Oh.
You know what happens when letters shift around, Craig? You get new words.
Yes.
Quick sidebar.
I see that all the time in the on this day in history as well.
And on Signs Outdoors, the girls called over Christmas break and they said, you know what we saw? We saw a sign for free shavacadoos. It was supposed to be fresh avocados.
Wow.
I thought Shavacadoos was a group in the 60s.
Yeah, Shavacadoo.
No, he was the 80s. He was right behind MC Hammer with the big pants.
Headlining for ABBA.
Shavacadoo. He didn't have many fans. That's why his concerts were free.
Wasn't that Xanadu?
The new equipment includes sensors to monitor for organic and measure environmental factors like the presence of dissolved oxygen and levels of acidity, all to see if Europa could, in theory, support life in its subterranean seas. Sounds very intriguing. If you want to read more about it, go to the show notes, and boom, I get an ad to sign up for a mailing list.
You know, I could, yeah, right. So I could see this actually working pretty well going forward, because if it's like a torpedo shape, and it is, it's like a, you know, like a torpedo, they would have to drill and they would just drop it in rather than trying to fit something weird shaped, you know, and make a big hole. So that, I don't know, it kind of makes sense. I think it looks cool. They also, looking at the video, there was like this weird alien looking thing they were looking at on the seafloor already. So I think they probably found something already.
Well, like I said, they found a lot of life forms that just weren't down there. I mean, that nobody's ever seen eyes on before.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Okay, we are going to take a real quick break and be back with Remember When and a couple things from the Media Corner, and maybe we'll tell you what we got for Christmas.
Ooh.
All right, be right back. Hang out.
Hello, friends and neighbors. I'm your little podcast buddy, Dave Slusher. The Evil Genius Chronicles is the longest-running podcast on the internet, starting in August 2004 and continuing to this very day. It's a discussion of technology, culture, philosophy, comedy. Conversations may range from politics to comic books, from games to literature, but no matter where it leads, it's a lot of fun. There'll be songs, some interviews now and then. It's a weekly dose of audio joy, except during the dog days of podcasting, when it is a daily dose of audio joy. That's a good 80 episodes a year, and you can join the frivolity at evilgeniuschronicles.org. See you there. Excelsior!
Hi, this is Dr. Pamela Gay, and you are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
I think I finally reached that point where it's no longer Dave from Evil Genius Chronicles on our conference calls at work. It's Dave from work on Evil Genius Chronicles. Yeah. And, you know, because at first you go, it's kind of funny hearing someone from the podcast world on your work calls, and then after a while you go, nope, it's not funny anymore.
Well, the thing about Dave, as I listened to him as a podcast for so long,
yeah,
you know, and then the first, yeah, you're right, the first, especially the first little while we were on, we would ever be on a call at work together, and I was like, whoa, that's good.
Yep,
I forgot to turn my podcast off. Oh, it's just Dave.
I had one of those this last week, or just before the holidays. I was talking to one of our customers. He goes, this is really weird because I watch all your videos and now I'm talking to you. Like, okay, calm down.
I'm hey, I'm talking to you.
I need some info for this paper.
13 years of podcasts you can go listen to.
Yeah, go. Good luck. All right, we have, are we in the media corner? We are in the media corner, right? We're not. No. I'm playing this anyway. What do you mean, no? This is Remember When, isn't it?
Remember When.
All right, I jumped ahead again.
Way back when. I'm going to start singing a song.
No, please don't. Do we even have a Remember When that we're allowed to play? Okay, we'll play this and then we'll make it quiet so YouTube doesn't get... Yes, we'll talk over. Tiffany, would you like an article about some old technology?
Sure. The old painting goes along with it, it looks like.
There's several old paintings that Donna will put on the screen.
I think my grandmother had that picture in her house.
American patent clerks in the 1870s could scarcely have imagined how two inventions, filed 2 years apart, would together change the lonely lives of frontier Americans. In 1874, there was barbed wire, and in 1876, Alexander Graham Bell's revolutionary telephone.
Quick! Who patented the barbed wire? The famous one with a little twist. No.
I don't know.
You're close.
Who'd you say?
His name is Glidden.
Oh.
I remember because he's not the same Glidden from the paint.
Right.
Together in an amazing display of rural ingenuity, they connected isolated homesteads to their rural neighbors and the rest of the world.
They could do this with the internet now.
Right. Yeah. Let's run some Ethernet across barbed wire.
It's Twisted Bear!
Left to telephone companies and their bottom lines, farm people would not have had telecommunications at all. Building lines were expensive and hardly worth the effort in sparsely populated areas. But, according to historian Ronald R. Klein, manufacturers underestimated the entrepreneurial, innovative spirit of these men and women. Quote, ranchers and farm men built many of the early systems as private lines to hook up the neighbors, writes Klein, often using the ubiquitous barbed wire fences that divided much of the lands west of the Mississippi.
Hang on, I'm not getting your signal. A sheep ran into the fence.
we got a sheep shorting out the phone.
By the 1880s, thousands of miles of barbed wire snaked their way up and down the country. To turn the steel fence wires into telephone lines, they simply had to be connected to a telephone in a house or barn with a piece of smooth wire. The signal then passed through the smooth wire and along the length of the barbed wire, either to a switchboard or to other houses down the line. In some cases, as many as 20 telephones were wired together, all of which would ring simultaneously with each call, regardless of who was making it and who they were trying to reach. Agreed upon codes, 3 short rings for you, 2 long rings for me. Helped people to know if the call was for them.
Right.
It's pretty ingenious.
That is pretty ingenious. The infrastructure was there. Why not take advantage of it? That's pretty cool. Actually,
I saw this article and it just blew my mind because, you know, I played around with phones and stuff and wired up, you know, weird stuff. And I've used some thin wire, but I never thought of running audio down a barbed wire fence. And to think that they were doing this so long ago just kind of blew my mind.
That's very ingenious.
Right.
Well, I'm also trying to think, and maybe Jack can shine some light on this because we're talking about the metal, but I wonder what kind of power you would need to push audio over a long distance like that, especially over something, like, I guess it's galvanized steel, right? Or steel or whatever they made barbed wire out of back then.
Well, since I'm the expert on this, I can chime in.
We probably should have got Mike Menege in the studio.
Right. It has to do with Elon Musk, actually. It's I kid, Mike. Right. No, I really don't. I would assume it would have been the same with the telegraph and that kind of stuff at the time. But I mean, really, my question, I'm going to deflect Craig's question and say, is this steampunk? What is this, like sheep punk? I mean, what?
That's a good question. There has to be something. And it couldn't have been very far. I mean, farms were pretty far apart.
That's what I was getting at. How much power would you need to push?
And it was more than likely DC current, which doesn't travel that far on its own. So someone's got to go out there and patch your fence to my fence.
You know, my dad's an electrical engineer. I'm going to have to go ask him. Hold on.
I have this vision of some lady at a switchboard out in the middle of a cow pasture patching calls together.
Hey, I'm going to text Dad. Hey, if I was running telephone audio across barbed wire, what would be the resistance of such said audio? I don't know. I think it's pretty cool, though.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Not sure why the lightsaber just turned on, but okay, we'll go with that. It kind of goes with what we're talking about next. Yeah. We have our patrons.
Put that away.
I put it away. Thank you very much to our patrons. This show is brought to you by you. You help offset the cost of hosting and bandwidth and software and hardware and all that other good stuff. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you to Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills. Thank you, Leon, John Noble. Thank you, Amy Bowen, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, a.k.a. Grant Pachoco, Steve Therian, Kyle Nishioka, Yorga Shrawan, and our latest Patreon patron, John Clifford. Thank you very much for joining the crowd and supporting Technorama. We love bringing it to you. I hope you enjoy it and find it useful and somewhat entertaining. And because you are a patron, we give you custom content. Right after we record this show, we record a special Patreon members only show that goes out on Monday. So it's actually in reverse order. We have a hard time remembering what we referenced and when. Little timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly thing.
Yeah.
But thank you very much. If you want to be a patron, go over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast. And for as little as $1 a show, and that's the cool thing, if we're out on vacation, you're not paying for it. You only pay for what we produce.
Thank you. When you get it, you get it.
You get it whether you like it or not. Yeah. And as a sampler, Craig has been discussing putting some of the old original content since we've been doing this, 2 years now? I think we started just after January of 16, 15?
Yep.
I can't remember now. But we finally did get around to that. And I'll let you know what we were discussing a couple of years ago. It's timeless, I'm sure.
I was going to post a couple of them over Christmas, and you know what? I didn't write my task down to do it. So.
Fail. That's a to-do list. Really helping, isn't it? Come on, just tell your assistant right now to put it on your to-do list and it'll magically show up in Todoist, right?
Okay, Google. No, hold on, stop.
Hook him up. What are we on now? Now we're on the media corner, right? There we go.
Yeah, you can Google.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Real quick link in the media corner to a Lego. We are huge Lego fans, and as the author of this says on io9, what can I say? I'm a sucker for good Lego art, and this, my friends, is fantastic Lego art. Spoiler warning, though. We should play our spoiler warning from the other show, but I don't have it up here. The this is from Last Jedi, and
spoiler alert.
Jack and Tiffany went and saw Last Jedi.
The second time.
Yeah.
You know what?
I've seen it twice. Did you see it, Chuck?
I have seen it once. I have not seen it twice.
Okay.
Here we go. It's not the Tribbles. It's this one.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
All right, we're only going to play three because it gets a little old fast. But if you haven't seen The Last Jedi yet, this is a scene where Snoke's is kind of punishing Rey. Hovering in the air.
You have seen that to a degree in the trailer, so you know it's kind of happened, you know, but yeah.
I don't remember quite. This is the actual audio track dubbed onto Lego figures. And I don't remember him narrating the motions quite so exactly. Now he lights up the lightsaber. Like, really? Did he say
that? He did.
He did say that.
Yeah.
And he turns it on his true enemy. And I guess I was so enthralled with, you know, what the visuals that I kind of let the narration slip on that first viewing.
I actually was listening to it thinking, where'd they get the audio?
Because bootleg, you can tell. It's terrible.
I know. I'm just saying it's pretty much the dialogue exactly from that scene.
Yeah. So. They used a bootleg video and stripped the audio out. But I got to tell you, Snoke's figure.
It is singular, by the way. It's not Snoke.
Oh, okay.
Snoke's.
Well, Snoke's face doesn't make a good Lego figure to me.
No.
How's that? He looks more like an old Captain Kirk.
or looks like somebody scratched it on the sidewalk.
He's got a gold gi and a wrinkly face.
That's pretty much him.
Yeah, this is a blue-eyed Voldemort.
Yeah,
you're right. He doesn't have a nose either.
No.
Think they're related? Maybe.
That's the spoiler.
Yeah, it's actually Voldemort.
Voldemort comes back in a universe far, far away.
Anyway, the video is very impressive.
It was.
So I would suggest you go watch it. Somebody did a good job with it. And it is pretty much the whole scene. So
right up to where they start hacking and slashing red guys, red shirts. See, another Star Trek reference.
Yeah, I know. Star Wars is turning into Star Trek.
Did they have to actually cut the Lego figure in half, though, to make it? All right. We now know from paper scraps that were stuffed in Blackbeard's canon what pirates may have really been reading.
That's why I put this in the media corner.
Okay, then you get to read it, Mr. Media. Go ahead.
Okay, so old-timey pirates were typically portrayed as stupid, unrefined thugs whose only interests involved plundering captured ships and forcing enemies to walk on the plank.
And booty.
Wait, we don't talk about that. No kiss and tell. Anyway, The recent discovery of a legible text on paper pulled from the canon of Blackbeard. Don't stop Google. Google's trying to kick in. Pulled from the canon of Blackbeard's flagship paints a strikingly different picture of these misunderstood sailors. Work by conservationist from North Carolina's Department of Natural and Cultural Resources show that Blackbeard and his crew got a kick out of reading voyage narratives, a popular form of literature in the late 17th and 18th century that chronicled the true account of maritime expeditions. Specifically, Blackbeard kept a copy of Edward Cook's A Voyage to the South Sea and Round the World, performed in the years 1708, 1709, 1710, 1711.
What a title. Sounds riveting.
Yeah, detailing the British naval officers' participation in global expedition aboard ships Duke, and the Duchess.
Dear voyage around the sea, I never thought it would happen to me. When I got to Fiji, there were these women.
Yeah. Isn't that 50 Shades of Blackbeard?
Where have we taken Technorama tonight?
Let's define what he's talking about, canon.
Oh!
Wow. Okay.
So the conservators made the discovery while working on artifacts pulled from the wreckage of Blackbeard's ship, flagship, the Queen Anne's Revenge, which ran aground near Beaufort Inlet in North Carolina in 1718. Blackbeard stole the ship. Excuse me. Getting choked up there. Stole the ship from the French in 1717. And when it was then being used as a slave ship, the French had stolen the merchant ship from the original British owners in 1711.
And they got it from Jack Sparrow.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jack Sparrow is somewhere in there. The dreaded pirate gave the vessel a new name, added 40 guns, and made it his flagship. The wreck was rediscovered in 1996. Wow. And most of the ships, 27 known cannons, have been raised. So the researchers found 16 tiny fragments of paper in a mass of wet sludge.
That's amazing that that paper is still intact.
Yeah, to any degree. Crammed inside that chamber of a breech loading cannon, which, or how it got there is anyone's guess.
That's anyway, where I store me books.
Yes, I go to the bathroom there. That's where I read it.
That's why they call them breeches.
The largest piece was only the size of a quarter. So there's your distressed paper. But it's exceptionally rare to find paper in submerged wreck, particularly one that's 300 years old. Paper tends to deteriorate rapidly underwater. So anyway, should I continue reading?
I think we got the gist of it. That's pretty amazing. If you want to keep reading more about it, again, show notes, click link, go there. Good stuff.
Yeah, and they and right at the top is a picture where they have the quarter size piece and where it fits into the, I guess, the original text, you know, of wherever.
Yeah.
You know, whatever text it was. So that's pretty cool.
That they would how they find. Matched that up, I have no idea, unless, you know, something about the Hilo and Eight Leagues. That's incredible that not only did they have the piece of paper and were able to match it, but that the type or the you know, the language hadn't been changed. The looks like the font is even the same. It's crazy.
I think if it had anything other than like Hilo 2, you know, it'd be hard to yeah. If it just had regular operator words, you know, I don't think it would.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to match up somewhere.
40 degrees latitude north. We're not getting anywhere with this.
Yeah. And to the, and though.
2,000 coins.
Yeah, I'm not still might get anything on this Google search.
All righty. Final topic tonight is what did you get for Christmas, Craig? Actually, let's start with our studio guests.
Yes, please.
Oh, you go ahead.
One of my favorite things I got a stadium chair. I'm at the ice den a lot, sitting in bleachers, so my butt gets sore. So I have a cute little stadium chair now that, yeah, it's padded.
Is it heated?
I don't need it to be heated, but it's got a back on it. You know, it folds. It's one of those chairs that folds, and so it's got a
especially comfortable when you're 8 months pregnant.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Someone is so thoughtful.
I know.
I wouldn't know that, but.
Yeah, no, it's super comfortable. I got a hockey jersey for the ASU hockey team here, which we're fans of.
Nice.
Yeah.
It goes with your Coyotes jersey?
Yes, it does.
Not at the same time.
No. Wow. I got a massage gift card, which is nice when you're pregnant.
Yes.
Yeah. Already used it. And I got a few other little things.
Can you lay on your stomach and get a massage?
No. Okay. You know what? Prenatal massages, they have you lie on your side.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a totally different experience.
I thought they're going to have one of those tables where you put your head in it and there's a hole for your belly.
I wish. Oh, I'd belly be comfortable. Yeah, and some other fun stuff.
Very nice. Jack, anything noteworthy?
Yeah, some nice stuff. I mean, it was a couple of families within our family collaborated and got our family an actual nice keyboard. Not a computer keyboard, an
music
actual
like,
musical keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is nice. And then I guess in the geek department, I got a huge book of descriptions of every single Pink Floyd song. So every song they've ever done, there's a page or two about it. So that was, it's a huge book. It's massive, but it's pretty cool.
Did they come with lyrics? Because I could never understand the lyrics. They don't make sense to me.
No, no lyrics. No. It doesn't come with a bong or anything like that. No,
I was gonna say, the way you can understand the lyrics is when you're high. That happened once.
Is it like a coffee table book?
Yeah.
Kind of thing?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I was at the dentist one time and they said, here, you want to pick your own music? I said, sure. And I brought up my phone and I put on the Pandora playlist for Pink Floyd. And as they gave me the gas, I went, I understand. It's all so clear.
My lips are moving, but I can't hear what I'm saying.
And then it went on to Led Zeppelin. Like, oh, it makes sense. Of course, then when I sobered up, it didn't make sense anymore. So I don't know what's going on.
Stairway to Heaven makes sense.
That's what it was. It was Stairway to Heaven. And then when they get to the hard ripping rocking part, I swear, even though the dentist could not hear, I had headphones on, he could not hear. He was grinding my teeth away to the music. And I started laughing. It didn't work. Craig, what did you get?
Actually, I got a few things like some gift certificates and stuff like that for Best Buy. I'll throw a shout out to you. You actually sent me a Raspberry Pi kit, which is pretty cool.
Not the kind of fruit pie you eat.
Yeah, it was tasty.
Yeah,
oh, I wasn't supposed to eat it. All right, so it's a Raspberry Pi. It's the whole kit that has the SD card and the case and everything. So I'm gonna turn it into a retro Pi, and with my old, I've got an iCade, video game thing with the buttons and the joystick.
Perfect.
And you're supposed to use an iPad, but I'm actually gonna go find a screen and make it into a little arcade cabinet.
I just saw an article today that said, can you control other screens with the GPIO port on the Raspberry Pi? I'll see if I can find that and forward it to you.
Yeah, do that, because I've seen a couple of people on YouTube doing that. So, and Harrison actually picked up something for me. I haven't gotten it yet, only because it's a limited run Star Wars poster. I wish I had the guy's name, and if I get the link, I'll post it in the show notes. You can go see it. But they're only like 100, they're only printing 100 of them.
Wow.
And they're beautiful. There's like the original Star Wars poster, but kind of reimagined a little bit. And it's fantastic. So I'm looking forward to that when it comes. I was kidding when I was like, oh, I get it when my birthday comes. But that's all right. It's coming.
And you gave me a subscription to Todoist.
Yeah. Because I helpful. Figured you got to do something. You got
to
get.
I had to get my ducks in a row again. And then, so that got me to December of 2019. And then this windfall of promo codes started falling out. And I think I'm good until about February of 2020 now or something. It's insane. I'm good for, I think I'm going to retire before I run out of Todoist codes. But I also got from Melissa Bartel, the Bathtub Mermaid, I got Spock socks.
Nice.
And the Professor Farnsworth that I showed you earlier, the little pop head. Also got a one of those discovery boxes. What are they called, Donna? The
loot crate?
Kind of like a loot crate, but it was a different brand. It had all kinds of stuff in there, like a little secret panel box that you try to open by sliding this and moving that. It also came with the... Oh, Craig, you also sent me the Star Trek lapel pin.
Yes, I actually sent you and Clinton both badges because we're doing the Topic is Trek podcast. So
I got a perpetual calendar keychain for 50 years.
Oh, nice. Raise it up. We can't see it.
It just looks like almost like a half dollar size.
Oh,
but it's got a little turny wheel and you'll line it up and say, okay, the year is on the outside. Got to deal with the reflection here.
And then you can decode the messages.
The year is on
the
outside, and then it says Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in here, and it kind of works. Be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
I was trying to say that.
I also got a new name badge. You remember the scrolling one that I used to put messages on? And you had to program it character by character. Well, yes. I got a new one. This is called Beam Authentic.
Wait, is that the link I sent you? Is that the same?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, you got one.
I did get one. I got the white one. Man. Can't pop it out of the box. There we go. Let me see if I can turn this on real quick. One, two, you hold
it's
it
like a button.
It
more
is,
left.
But it's got an LCD screen on it. I don't know if the battery's charged. Oh. There we go. It says beam. And right now it says Merry Christmas because I haven't put any new messages on it. But you can you can put in static and animated images. So these are just standard animated GIFs. Takes a while to load the animated GIFs. There's there's me and Donna.
You need to load it up with the animated GIF of us doing our little
that dance.
Happy dance.
Yeah, that's coming. I've got let me see if I can find you there's the abominable.
I can't raise it up. You're too low.
Too low for your camera.
There you go.
Now we see the
point. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool.
So a lot of fun. I'll be probably bringing that to conferences and whatnot.
You too.
The one thing that's kind of cool that I'm yet to build is Boltron, the robot who can.
What?
This came in that fun pack that I was talking about, along with a T-shirt and some other stuff.
What is it?
You take an aluminum can, and it's got all the other parts to make a robot.
Oh.
Okay. I'm wondering if we could use this as the next Hitchbot. Hitchbot's little brother.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't get mugged in Philadelphia, we're okay.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a good Christmas. A lot of fun. Oh, and work got me a new laptop.
Well, that's not really a gift.
It is when the other one starts acting really funky.
It's like buying your wife a mop. You don't do that.
I know.
Why didn't I think of that?
Unwrap this, dear. That's a mop.
It's like a rake. How do you wrap a rake and stick it under the tree so they don't guess what it is?
Actually, I've wrapped stuff and trying to make it non-obvious. I'd put like a ball of paper on it and wrap, you know, so it looks weird, you know, weird shape. People go, "What is that?" It's really nothing.
Yeah, I had a friend who did that, and most of his looked very suggestive, and he'd probably get sued for sexual harassment today for his wrapping jobs that he used to do.
That's Scott?
No, that would be Mark.
Okay.
Is Mark watching? Mark usually doesn't watch, but we'll have our old-timers call next week. All right, thank you very much. Question of the week. I didn't see you stick this one in there. What TV show has the best theme song? We might get some good feedback on this one.
I started thinking of Gilligan's Island or something like that. Maybe the Flintstones.
Yeah, so many.
So many to choose from, especially if you go way back. The first one that jumped into my head was Mission Impossible.
Little House on the Prairie.
Well, the first one.
That one's not the first one that jumped out of my head, Craig.
What, Jack? I'm sorry.
No, it's all, the first one I thought of was Battlestar Galactica.
Old or new?
The original, yeah. The old one. It's pretty great stuff.
Yeah, there's lots of fun ones. That's pretty strong chords there. I mean, song.
Tiffany, any thoughts?
Well, I have lots, like all over all kinds of genres. MASH.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Game of Thrones,
MASH.
Yeah.
I would call it a classic theme song, but it was so darn depressing. Once you knew the words, like, oh, that's a terrible song. I don't want to.
Okay.
Obscure one for me is Peaky Blinders. Really, really love that song.
Red Right Hand?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Great song. And you know, I'll beat Crazy Joe to the punch and say the A-Team. Great team. sorry, Crazy Joe.
Now, Walking Dead is still kind of a powerful, creepy song, too. I think they repurposed a good chunk of that at the end of, Turn on Netflix, another AMC show. Like, well, they must have hired the same musician and he stole a couple of bars. Because as soon as you hear it, you're like, yep, sounds a lot like Walking Dead theme.
Yeah. Well, right now I've been buzzing through DS9, so I've got that theme going through my head right now. And it's kind of slow.
Yeah.
Methodical. Yeah.
Alrighty, we're going to get some good feedback on that one, I guarantee you. For now, we're going to sign off. This has been a full hour of Technorama fun. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate your support. If you want to give us a call, call us up on the listener line at 707-530-2428. I think we've had that number for what now, 4 years, 3 years, something like that. Been a while.
Like just yesterday.
You better update, like call like Crazy Joe did. We know the line still works, so you have no excuse.
Yeah, keep it, you know, in rotation so we make sure we don't lose it.
email us at technorama@chuckchat.com or find us all over the social internet. You know where to look. Go to our website, chuckchat.com/technorama, to find all of that information. And thank you once again to our wonderful Patreon patrons. Can't say thank you enough to them. Thank you also to Jack and Tiffany for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Been a lot of fun.
Probably my last visit for a while.
Oh, yes. Next time we'll have another listener.
Yay.
Another Megan.
That's right.
Craig, give us the sign off. Binary high five.
101. Out of here.